This morning, rather than spending any time in review of the last couple of messages, we're going to get right into the text today. As we begin this morning, I want us to think about a truth that all of us know, but we may not express it. We may not talk about it. It's just something that we are mindful of. It is something that we understand, and that is this, is that if you do anything in life very many times, if you do anything in life very often, you are going to reach a place where you have a pretty good understanding of what it is you are dealing with, and you will also have a pretty good understanding of what some of the challenges will be in doing this or some of the obstacles you will face in doing whatever it is you are talking about. You understand that thought, do you not? That if you are involved in a process long enough, if you engage in this process often enough, you will become so familiar with it that not only do you understand how the system works and what works best and what would be most effective, you will also have a very good understanding of what presents itself as a challenge or an obstacle in that setting. Just to illustrate it very quick, I would say it like this. Suppose you work on cars on a regular basis. Suppose you spend a lot of time mechanicking on different pieces of equipment. You are going to reach a point where you have a good understanding of what it is you are doing, and you will be mindful of where some of the obstacles and challenges will present themselves, right?
Right.
If you have a hobby, and I was thinking about our group, and so you may be able to identify with this, but if you have a hobby such as fishing, you're going to get pretty good at the art of fishing, will you not? You're going to get comfortable with it. You're going to be familiar with it. And as a result of that, you'll have an understanding of what works well, what works best, what would be to your advantage. But you're also going to understand that this would create a challenge, that this would create an obstacle, that this might present some difficulties for you. And so as you go through life, whatever it is you're talking about, whatever it is you are dealing with, the more you are around it and the more you deal with it, the better you understand it, understanding also some of the challenges that are presented. So that in mind, I want us to think about this. How many of us have ever dealt with people? I don't mean we just live around people, but we deal with people and we have to interact with people on a regular basis. Well, if you do that, here's what you know. You begin to get a pretty good understanding of how people work, right? Now, again, if you don't really have to interact with them, you just have to see them, maybe nod at them or whatever it may be, you know, then you may not learn all these same lessons. But if you really have to interact with people, if you really have to conduct yourself with them by way of business, relationships, whatever it may be, you begin to understand people a little bit better, but you also begin to understand the challenges associated in dealing with people, right? You know that, okay, if I'm in this particular situation, I know how I need to approach them because I know something about how they act and how they react and how they handle themselves. And so this might be a challenge or this might be an obstacle that I would face in dealing with this person. If you're in another situation, you may say, you know, based on my experience with them, this could be a challenge. This could be an obstacle. This might create some problems for us. And the illustrations could go on. I just want us to see this. I just want us to think about this. That whenever you deal with people, I know, shock, but when you deal with people, sometimes there are obstacles and challenges that present themselves. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but it's painfully true that we are some people's challenges and obstacles. We are, you know. I mean, we look at our situations and they say, they are such a challenge to me. They are such an obstacle to me. They are someone that I've got to figure out, right? And somebody else is looking at us saying, you know, they are such a challenge and they are such an obstacle sometimes and they are such a struggle. And over the years, mankind has not changed that much. Over the years, there really is nothing new under the sun. And so some of what was dealt with thousands of years ago, guess what? Well, it's still being dealt with today. And some of the same challenges and obstacles that presented themselves thousands of years ago are the same obstacles and challenges that present themselves in the lives of people today. And so this morning, as we deal with our text, as we deal with the passage that we're going to look at, here's what we're going to notice. We're going to notice that James obviously learned some things about people as a result of his interaction with them. As a result of dealing with people, he began, I think, to understand, you know, this is the way people have a tendency to respond. This is the way people have a tendency to act. And in light of that, he's going to try to help them out. Well, guess what? Once again, here's the truth that if we think about this, the same way in which James tried to help them out thousands of years ago is the same way that we need to be helped out. I'm not saying it's the same way that you need to be helped out. I'm saying it is the same way that we, myself included, need to be helped in our spiritual lives. Why do I say that? Well, notice this morning in verse number 18 what James writes. This is such an important truth in verse number 18. I don't want us to skip over this. He says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Now, whenever James speaks of he, I think most of us know this, that is a reference to God Almighty. So James is speaking of God, and here's what he says, of his own will, which means this, that it would be a result of his own desire or his own wants. So James says that it is because of the will of God or the desire of God or the wants of God that he begat us, which means brought us forth. Who is James writing to? Well, his primary audience would be that of Jews, but not just Jews in particular. He is writing to the Jews who had left the Jewish faith, who recognized there was no longer value in the law, and he was now writing to Jews who had been brought forth from the law into a saving relationship with God through the work of Jesus Christ. Come on, that's who he's writing to, is Jews who have been saved by the grace of God and who have abandoned the works of the law because there was no longer value associated to the law in a person's Christian life. So he says that it is of the will of God, it is because of what God desired that he begat us or he birthed us and brought us forth with what? The word of truth. It was through the word of God that they in their lifetime recognized their need of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and because of the word of God, they were able to be convicted and they were able to be drawn unto God through Jesus Christ. And so it was through the word of God, the word of truth, that God brought them into the saving relationship that they enjoyed. Now, I just want to say this, make this application, and then we'll move on. And that would be that today, for you and I who are saved, it is the result of God's desire that we could be saved. But the only way that we can be saved, the only way that we can be rescued and delivered from our sins, is through the word of truth that God made available because of his desire in our lives. Are we hearing this? This is of utmost importance that you and I are not the reason that we are saved. The reason that we are saved is because of God's will, God's desire, that he brought us forth into this relationship with God through the word of truth. It was through the perfect word of God that we understood our need of salvation with the aid of the Holy Spirit and were able to be saved. So as a result of our salvation that was initiated by God through the word of truth, notice what he said next. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So he speaks of God's creatures or God's creation. What did God create? Well, if you're a Bible believer, you believe this, that God created everything. He didn't just create a portion of it. He didn't just create a few different items and let the rest evolve. No, everything in this world that we see is a result of his creation. It is all a part of his creatures. But as a result of man's salvation, here is what James said, that we should be a kind of first fruit. Now, for those of us who aren't Jews, we're not always talking about first fruits, correct? It's not something that we're talking about on a regular basis, but for the Jews in their day, they would have been very familiar with the terminology and the thoughts behind this expression of being a kind of first fruits of the creatures. So what does it mean to be a kind of the first fruits? Well, the first fruit was simply this, the first offering that would come in from a crop or something of that nature. As we talked about in the past, it would also be a representation of more to come. But there is also this associated with the idea of a first fruit, and that is that it would be superior, or it would be the best of the offering of the crop that came in. So the person who was bringing in their first fruits to God by way of an offering would not have brought in the least or the most unattractive or the worst of the crop. No, they would have brought in the best of the best as they presented it to the Lord. So see this, please. Again, this is so important. James says to the believers that it is because of the will of God, it is because of the desire of God that he begat us, or he brought us forth into this relationship with God through the word of the truth. Without the word of truth, there will not be salvation that takes place. And as a result of one's salvation, it is the plan and it is the thoughts and the idea that those of us who are saved, it is the plan that we would be the best, the superior of all creation, all that God has created. The child of God should live a superior lifestyle over everyone else. Not that we ourselves are superior, but because of the word of truth that has supposedly worked in our lives should be superior over everything else that God has created. So that in mind, I think we would understand this, and I think that we would agree with this, that the only way that we can be a kind of the first fruits of all creatures once we are saved is for us to be confronted with the word of truth, the word of God. The only way that I can be superior, and again, not myself as an individual, but who I am as a believer and how I'm living my life, the only way that I can even remotely be superior in how I handle my life is if I come into contact with the Word of God that is able to change me and make me who I'm supposed to be. You understand this, right? I have to be in contact with the perfect Word of God so as to reveal to me where my faults are, where my flaws are, where my shortcomings are. Because if I'm not exposed to that which is perfect, then there is an assumption then on my part that I'm okay. So if I am going to be a kind of the first fruits of His creatures, of His creation, then I must come into contact with His Word, the perfect word of truth. Well, how can I come into contact with the perfect word of truth? Well, obviously, there are many ways in which I can come into contact with His word, is there not? You would hope that in going to the house of God for a church service that you would be confronted with the perfect word of truth. You would hope that in your relationships with other professed Christians that you would come into contact with the perfect word of truth. You would hope that as a result of being married to a believer that there would be times that you would come into contact with the perfect word of truth. You would hope that as a result of doing your own personal Bible study, your own personal devotions, that you would be confronted with the perfect word of truth. Do you understand this? There are many ways in which you and I can be confronted with the perfect word of truth that can make us into the people we are called to be as the first fruits of His creatures. You and I, we have to come into contact with the Word of God to be what we're supposed to be. But there are challenges associated with that, right? You say, I don't know. Well, there are. What could some of the challenges be that are associated with the Word of God coming into our lives in one of any number of manners or means in which it can? Well, notice what James said in verse number 19. He said, wherefore. What does that word wherefore indicate? It just indicates this, that it is very much associated with what was said in verse number 18. So we're talking about the perfect word of truth and our salvation, how the Word of God brought us into this relationship, but also how the Word of God is supposed to be key to us becoming what we're supposed to be in our Christian lives. So he said, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man or every individual do what? Be swift to hear. Let every man, let every person be swift to hear. What does it mean to be swift in something? It means to be quick in doing something. James is admonishing and James is challenging the readers as it relates to the Word of God to be quick to hear it. Now, why is that a challenge in the lives of individuals, ourselves included? It's a challenge for this reason, because we're not always too good at being quick to hear what we need to hear. How many of us have heard things like this over and over and over and over again? And if we were honest, we would have to admit it never quite sunk in and it never quite registered the way it should have registered many, many, many times prior. Friends, that is the testimony of many of us. See, some right now, you're so distracted, you're not even hearing the need for us to be quick to hear. There is a need to be quick to hear the preaching and the teaching and the declaration of the Word of God. However we might be confronted by it, there is a need for us to be quick to hear it. And the word here doesn't mean just to acknowledge some noise that's being made by someone else, but it is the understanding of how that word applies to our lives. There are times that the preaching of the Word of God is going to address specific issues that we need. It could be in relationships, it could be in finances, it could be in spiritual issues, it could be in so many other things. And what James is saying is this, there is a need for you to be quick to hear that, to not be slow in understanding that that was for you. Man, how many times have we been guilty of, and don't think I'm picking on anyone this morning, because I'm not, but how many times have we been guilty of amening things and then leaving and not realizing it was us who needed that? Yeah, somebody needed to hear that about that marriage stuff. Yeah, somebody need to hear that about that child rearing stuff. Yeah, somebody need to hear that about that whole tithing issue. Somebody else needed to hear that about the faithfulness to the house of God. Yeah, man, they really needed to hear that. Hold on, that may not have been for everyone else. Come on, sometimes we need to be quick to make it personal. That if I'm going to be a kind of the first fruits of His creatures, then I need to be quick to say, God, how does that apply to me? God, how do I need that? I don't want to just sit here and say amen because that's what I've been programmed to do. I don't want to just sit here and nod my head because that's what I was trained to do. No, I need to be quick to say, how does this relate to my life and my situation? I need to be quick to hear that. If a friend, if a spouse, if a devotional book hits us where we need to be hit, we need to be quick to hear it. But that is a challenge, isn't it? Because it is so easy to just assume, well, that was for someone else. It is so easy to assume that we've got everything together and we didn't need that. No, James says, you got to remember this. It is because of the will of God that he begat us. He brought us forth into this relationship through the saving or through Jesus Christ. And he did so through the word of truth. So now here's what you need to do. You and I, we need to be swift to hear. At the same time, we know what else he went on to say. He said this, that once you are quick to hear, you need to be slow to speak. Slow to speak. Doesn't mean we need to talk slow. It means we need to be slow in our response to what it is we have heard. And I don't mean slow to make the changes by way of response, but we need to be slow as to how we would respond to what it is we have heard by what we say. So here's James, and he's obviously invested in the lives of people to some extent, right? He has dealt with people to some extent to know this, that a person can be confronted with the truth of the Word of God, and the person may realize, okay, that was good, that was valid, that was a biblical argument that was being made, and he knew, it seems by experience, that what a pretty typical response from people is that they like to begin talking very quickly in relation to what it is they were just confronted with. So I don't know what you mean by that. Well, let me ask you, have you ever been confronted by something and it wasn't that you were not quick to understand that it was for you? In fact, maybe you knew immediately that it was for you. And yet as a result of hearing what you knew was for you, wherever it came from, what we did was we were quick to begin speaking to defend why we do what we do. We were then quick to speak. Well, see, you don't understand why I'm doing what it is I'm doing. See, you don't understand. See, if you understood my situation, what do we often tend to do? We immediately begin to speak in an effort to defend our actions that just got confronted by the word of truth. Well, see, you don't understand why I treat my wife this way. I treat my wife this way because she does this. Well, see, you don't understand. I treat my husband this way because my husband does this. Well, see, you don't understand, Pastor. I treat my parents this way because my parents do this. Well, you don't understand, Pastor, that the reason I do this is because this, and this. And so what are we quick to do? We are very quick to defend ourselves because we don't like how we were just confronted with the truth of God's word. James said, be quick to hear, be quick to grasp this, be quick to understand that that word was for you, and be slow in your response. Don't immediately start defending yourself. Don't immediately begin making excuses for your actions. Well, see, I would do this, but... Well, you know, I was planning on that, but, well, again, you don't understand, but if you just realize what it was I'm dealing with and what it is I'm going through, well, you know, you would realize that you really don't need to say that and I'm really not guilty of it. And isn't it amazing how we can excuse the very things that we've been confronted with that we know we ought to be changing? Well, we can justify it. We can rationalize it. We can explain anything that we need to explain to get us past what the word of truth has just confronted in our lives. So let's just take the setting of a church, though I know it could be illustrated in so many different areas of life. But let's just use the setting of a church, since this is where we're at. A message is preached by myself or someone else. We hear the word of God go forth, and it cuts deep, and we know, ooh, that was for us. Okay, well, I can't deny that. So now I've either got to change, or I've got to make excuses. And making excuses is where a lot of people live. But what was one of the other challenges that James seemed to have noticed in his dealings with people? Well, notice what he said after that. He said, not only be quick to hear and slow to speak, he said, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. I wonder if we know what wrath means. Some of us aren't hearing this morning. I wonder what slow to wrath means. It means to be slow to anger. We all know what this is like, right? Somebody confronts us about something, and we couldn't play dumb past their confrontation. Right? We couldn't play dumb. We knew, oh man, that was for us. We tried to excuse it, but they shot down our excuses. We tried to rationalize it, but there was really no rational reason for why we were doing what we were doing or not doing what we weren't doing. And every chance we took to try to explain why we're living the way we're living, it got shot down. Isn't it amazing what our next response often is? To become angry at the one who confronted us with the word of truth. Here's James, and he's dealt with people for a while. And he knows that whether they're saved or not, here's what the tendency is among people. And it's a challenge in dealing with people, and it's an obstacle in dealing with people, that whenever you confront them with what they need to hear, if they will admit that it is true, they tend to get angry because you brought it to their attention. How dare you confront me on my attitude? How dare you confront me on my spirit? How dare you confront me on my faithfulness? How dare you confront me on my obedience in this area? How dare you? Now listen, it is the tendency of people to get angry whenever they've been confronted by truth. And it's no different in the life of a believer. So go back to verse number 18. Let's just walk through this real quickly. James says, of his own will, of God's own desire, he begat us or brought us forth through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We should be, in our manner of life, superior over everything else that God has created. But the only way that that'll happen is if we come into contact with the word of God, which is the word of truth. Some of us aren't hearing this, but in order for us to be that kind of first fruit, every one of us have to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Notice what he says in verse number 20 then. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What does it mean to work? It means to produce something. What does it mean whenever he speaks of the righteousness of God? Well, it means to be in a right standing with God. See, a person can be saved but not be in a right standing with God because of one's actions and because of one's manner of life. So just because a person is saved does not mean that their relationship with God is what it's supposed to be. And so James just spells this out for all of us. He said, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for or because the wrath of man worketh not or does not produce the righteousness of God in a person's life. I want us to hear this. When you and I are confronted with the truth of God's word and we get mad over what we've been confronted with, I can promise you this, it did not produce in us what it was designed to produce. if you and I get confronted with the truth of God's word, and rather than being quick to hear that and quick to make that application in our lives, but we get mad and we get angry and we get defensive and we start justifying and we start rationalizing and we start excusing our sin, we have got to understand that we cannot leave that encounter still right with God. James makes this as clear as anything can be. If we do not have a right response to God's word, you and I cannot be right with God. So it doesn't matter if you're at church. It doesn't matter if you're with a Christian friend. It doesn't matter if it's with your spouse. It doesn't matter if it's with that devotional book and the writer wrote something through the aid of the Holy Spirit that you needed. It doesn't matter if you and I are confronted with the truth of God's word and we respond in anger, trying to justify our actions, we are not right with God. It's that simple. And this morning, I don't know how else to present this. I don't know how else to lay this out for us. But to simply remind us of what I've already said, and that is this: the same challenges that James dealt with are the same challenges we deal with. I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to hear the Word of God sometimes. Let's just be honest. I don't want to hear it, and you don't want to hear it sometimes, because we're doing what we want to do. That's why we're doing it. But if I am going to be a kind of the first fruits of His creatures, I've got to be quick to hear it and be willing to say, you know what, that was for me. As painful as it was, that was for me. And whenever I hear it, then I've got to be slow to speak. I cannot begin defending myself just because I've been hit. And I cannot afford to get angry because I didn't like what the Word of God had to show about me. I can't get angry because whenever I get angry and whenever I get upset over the Word of God revealing in my life what I need, here is what is sure: that I can't be angry with the Word of God and be right with God. And so my challenge to us this morning is very simple. What tends to be our response to the Word of God? Do we just hit that amen because that's how we've been programmed to respond? Or do we listen to the Word of God and we say, okay, how did that apply to me? Are we slow to speak and slow to justify ourselves? Are we slow to anger? Or would we have to admit, and I'm pretty quick to speak and I'm pretty quick to anger sometimes? We need to consider it. Because what we are and how we respond to the Word of God is producing who we are as believers in our relationship with Christ. And we need to be right with Him. And that only comes through a right response to His Word. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Fathers, I come to you this morning. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to do exactly as James has admonished us to do through your word. I pray that you'd help us to be quick to hear your word. Lord, there are some here this morning. It's just evident by what I've been able to witness throughout the preaching. They've been distracted. They've let their minds be other places. And hearing was at least a challenge today, if it even took place. God, we need to be quick to hear. We need to be quick to make application in our lives as to how your word is trying to speak to us. God, I don't know for everyone, but it can be a struggle, I think, for most of us to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to respond how we're supposed to respond so that we can be that kind of first fruit that you would have us to be. I pray that you'd bless the invitation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.